had a very happy childhood. We lived in an old brick house on Macomb Street. And we had to walk to school. And if we had lived two blocks farther out Macomb, across the streetcar tracks, I could have taken my lunch. But since we lived within the limits, we had to walk home to lunch, had about a mile to walk to school, to the old Central School. And we had kindergarten and first grade, and our teachers were very strict. We weren't allowed much freedom. I mean, I think in the first grade, we were still using slates. We had a music teacher and an art teacher, but we were taught, like in art, we had to make our pictures look just like the one the teacher made. Now they, I think, and it's much better, they encourage the children to use their own
imagination
and give them freedom to. But I remember Miss Parker was the art teacher, music and art. And she had a little girl pose, and we were to draw her. And this little girl, to me, she had such big blue eyes and so much curly hair. Her head looked large for her body. And I made, that's what I made. And none of the other children had made it. They had made it more, I suppose it was more true to life. But there wasn't much character, you know, to what they were making. But Miss Parker told me if I couldn't draw like the other children, I couldn't have any more paper. And when we had a Dutch project, this month of March makes me think of it. And she'd cut the circles out for plates, for Dutch plates. And everyone was the same. They were all the same. And she told us where to put a windmill, where to put the wooden shoes. We made these pictures going around the plate. And she put her model one up in front, and all of our plates were to look alike. Then we got wood marks and art. And now they teach so differently. You think of something and you put a little of your own idea into it.
Can you remember what the punishment was like?
We stood in the corner. They always had to stay after school. Guns had? I think in one room, I think it was the second grade that they had a dunce hat.
Did you have recess?
We had recess.
What was your life like at home as a child?
My father was, he was a storyteller. I can remember him putting me on his knee in front of the old fireplace. There were two fireplaces in that old house, and telling me stories. That house was just one house off Noble on Macomb. And we had cows and chickens, rabbits, and horses. We had a horse. Just over here, see, it's all built up now, of course.
Yeah. And you said you came to Monroe in 1908 when you were 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was, at one time, had been a school teacher, and that didn't pay enough, so he had, when he was in Monroe, he was in the real estate business.
What about your mother?
She was she raised 9 children, and I never heard her raise her voice. She was a calmist. Very nice lady. She lived to be 77. But I'd never heard my mother speak harshly to anyone, you know. I went through, after I was I think the old Central School, that was where the water, water headquarters for the water department was in that school afterwards. They tore that down, yes.
Was that right by the river there?
That was right by the new City Hall building. And in those days, I remember going down. Do you want me to tell you a little, like, just as it comes to me?
Yeah.
Like going home from school, and when we saw a wreath on the door, that was, someone was dead at that house. And I remember we'd always whisper when we went by, because they didn't have the funeral parlors in, you know. And the bodies were kept at home. And at Christmas time, Santa Claus came on the interurban car. I think he was an old gentleman that lived in LaSalle, if I'm not mistaken. And he'd get on the interurban car with his suit on, you know. Well, then when he got into Monroe, to the Gecko and Martin Hardware, that was Santa Claus's headquarters here. And that was a big day in Monroe when Santa Claus came. And if your mother bought something at the hardware, like the toys they had, then Santa Claus would deliver them in a sleigh to your house, if there was snow at Christmas time. When we moved to Monroe in 1908, there were 2 automobiles in Monroe. Greenings owned one, and we happened to live next door to them. I don't know who owned the other, but there were 2. And when I would tell at the school that there were only 2 cars, and I got to thinking, I tell it for the truth, and it didn't seem possible, even thinking of it now and seeing all the cars going back and forth. So I saw an old neighbor of ours, in fact it was a Greening girl. This was when Maud Rye had her 90th tea, and I met one of the Greening girls again. And I asked her, and she said, yes, that was true. Her father had the one car, and she wasn't sure of the family that had the other car, but there were just 2 automobiles.
How did people get around?
They had horses, and there was a livery stable over town, and you could hire a horse.
Do you remember who owned that livery stable?
No, but I remember the hack man who drove the hack. And he had a high silk hat and was up on top of this big, it was a big old-fashioned, almost like a, you know, like the king has, used to have, chariot. It was almost like that. I mean, a big old black hack, and his name was, they all called him Dude Navarre. He lived on Macomb Street. Then they had the Interurban going to Detroit and to Toledo, and the streetcar going out to the piers, the Monroe piers. That was a just you could just go out there in the summer. And at one time they had concessions out there like merry-go-round and
Toledo Beach. Was that the name of it, Toledo Beach?
No. Monroe Piers. Toledo Beach was near Toledo. We'd go out on the streetcar for, I think it was a dime for adults and nickel for children. It was lots of fun.
What do you remember about the Depression?
Well, of course, the most I came in contact with people that were affected so by the Depression was out of Detroit. I was teaching. And I know there was one family, the little boy came to school into my room. And they were living in a tent, even in the winter. But he finally, the father had dug a, like part of a basement, but the tent was, they were really living in that tent. And when I'd go through Detroit, I would always have the blues because you'd see these people lined up to get a bowl of soup. And they were selling apples on the corners. Old people, older people, young people too. And it was very depressing. And when I taught school this one time, I guess during the Depression, I left that one school and I went to school and taught school in Rockwood because my father wasn't very well and he wanted me near home. And we were paid in scrip. We just get this piece of paper that said so much, but no money. And when we signed our contract, we had to agree to teach whether we, if the school board didn't have any funds at all, we agreed to keep teaching, even though we wouldn't get any pay.
Did they intend to pay you back?
I think maybe in time. But with scrip, see the stores, some of the stores would take scrip. They'd have signs up like we take food stamps or we take welfare orders, and they had, we accept scrip.
And it was only the teachers that were being paid with scrip?
Now that I don't know, but I know we were in Rockwood paid scrip. And I guess it was during the war that we had coupons for everything.
Was that World War II?
Yes. We, well, for instance, nylon stockings. We just couldn't get it all, and my sister was living in Chicago, and she had a lady friend that worked at Marshall Fields. So when the orders came in, they would let the clerks have, And she sent me a pair of nylon stockings, and I was just overjoyed. But when we had to have stamps for our shoes and sugar, everything, get this little coupon booklet. When you'd used your stamps out, you were just out of luck. You had to wait until they issued one.
Back to the scripts that you said you got paid during the Depression. You said stores accepted those. Did they give you the full value of
Well, now that I don't remember. No. I just remember that there were some stores that would accept it and some that wouldn't. And then when I was in high school in Monroe, after the First World War, if the teachers couldn't bob their hair, couldn't cut their hair, they were supposed to. This one teacher, I know they were afraid they would lose their job if they did. She asked me if I could tell in the fall. I had six older sisters, and one was the age of the high school teachers. So they were all friends, and she was a special friend of this one high school teacher. And so she asked me one day, after she came back from summer holidays and school started in the fall, she asked me if I could tell she'd had her hair cut. Bobbed in the summer, but she let it grow a little so she could pull it up and pin it. And she was afraid that, she was just afraid of losing her position as she, they thought she'd bobbed her hair.
What kind of clothes, what were the styles in high school?
In high school, we had midi blouses we'd wear midi blouses, and we'd have scarves. We tried to look like sailors, I guess, because we looked up to the sailors and the soldiers. Quite long skirts about halfway, mid-calf, I think, about mid-calf. And we wore it, and then galoshes came in style, and we wore these. They were rubber, I know, part rubber, and they buckled up, and it was a style not to buckle them. They just flopped. We had to. I think there must have been a shortage of teachers because they let us bring our lunch because they had to double up the classes, and we didn't have enough noon hour to go home. Anyway, as far as we lived, because we lived over a mile then from the old high school on Cass Street.
The high school you went to was on Cass Street?
Mm-hmm. They tore it down. It's right almost in back of the what used to be the Evangelical Church, the first Presbyterian. And they have never done anything with that. It's just a lot. It was too bad that nice old building was torn down. They said the floors were dangerous because they were wood floors and they had warped like them. It was dangerous, but you would have thought they could have repaired those. It was a nice old brick building. Do you remember it? It was a beautiful old school. And not so old, because when I was in the seventh grade, we walked, it was a new high school then, it's called the new high school, and we walked over there to have domestic art and science. And it was new then. So it wasn't an ancient building by any means. There was one theater in Monroe when we first moved here. And the old Armory Opera House, which was the old Armory.
It's
not where the Armory is now. It was where the telephone office is now. And it burned. But they would give real plays there, I remember seeing Uncle Tom's Cabin there. And they'd have real stage shows, very nice. Then there was the old family theater. And then later there was a Reaper Theater that was on Front Street. And then the theater out in the East End, the Majestic. Then when I was in the seventh grade, they built the, what was called the New Family Theater. And I guess they called, yes, that was a New Family Theater. That's the one they recently tore down. And the first show I saw was Mary Pickford and Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. And I remember they let us out of school early.
Were those plays?
Well, it was a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was a movie theater. And they had a piano player. And what else? They didn't have any stage shows. But I think we'd get in for 10 cents in the afternoon. And we had our high school graduation exercises at the family theater. Then they built the new Monroe Theater, which was across the street. And I think there were two, as I remember, there were only two places you could eat in 1908, from 1908 until maybe 15, I don't know. But you could go to the Park Hotel to eat, which was kitty corner from the courthouse. Now torn down. You could eat there. And I think it was a Custer restaurant. But no fast food places like now.
No McDonald's?
No. My God, I wonder how many there are. Do you know how many there are in Monroe? Fast food places?
Lots.
People ate at home more, you know. I thought after church, like we went to the Presbyterian church, and I thought that you had to be very wealthy to go to the Park Hotel to eat on Sunday, because the people just didn't do it. Of course, my father with 9 children, he'd run up quite a bit onto the park. And there was a joke, this is kind of cute, when my husband first moved to Rockwood and opened the drugstore, the salesman in those days didn't, I guess they had cars, but often would go like on the streetcar from town to town, or maybe on the train. And then if they were in a town of any size at night, they just stayed overnight. And the salesman told Mac, he said, we never like, when we hit Monroe at night, we don't like it because we have to sleep in the park. And Mac didn't know about the Park Hotel, so He said, you have to sleep in the park? He said, yeah, we always sleep in the park in Monroe. Then he found out that it was a park hotel. Very strict. The teachers were very strict.
Do you remember the subjects that you had that you studied in high school? The subjects you studied in high school?
Oh yes, I had math, just the general bookkeeping. We had basketball, but I don't ever even remember having that there were any classes in art, or I would have taken them. Had mechanical drawing, but not any creative art. Bookkeeping and typing.
Where did you go to college?
I was at Ann Arbor 1 year, the university, and then I went it was a normal school then. I was normal. Went to a normal school, and because I wanted to take kindergarten course. So I graduated from Ypsilanti. I guess they called Eastern now. When I stand in line, I spend half a day now getting enough groceries for myself. Stand in line. I do all the work. I push the cart and take them off the shelves. In the old days, like from when we moved here until long after I started teaching, my mother'd go to the phone with her little list of, I doubt if it took her 5 minutes to give Mr. Vicking her order. In about a half hour, there was a knock at the door, and the delivery man was coming in, and her order was put on the kitchen table. She spent about 5 minutes, and I spent half a day.
Where was that grocery store?
There were two grocery stores in that, maybe three downtown. There was a Vicking, and I just can't. They were across the street from Dickens. It will come to me later, but I can't. Then there was a DeVal at a grocery.
What were the prices like?
And I said, Papa would go to pay the bill on Saturday night. We'd get a bag of candy that high for nothing. He treated us. We used to go in the old meat market, and I remember for a few pennies, you could get, they'd take a dill pickle out of the pickle barrel, a great big. Just for a few pennies, it was better than getting a penny stick of candy. And where we could get ice cream, you get ice cream at some of the drugstores. I remember it wasn't Weissel's, Comstock's drugstore. Had tables with glass tops, and then they underneath the glass they'd have perfume or powder, something they had to sell in the cosmetic line. But you could have ice cream soda there, or ice cream sundaes. Yes, right in the drugstore. Well, we used to serve ice cream at our drugstore too in Rockwood in the 30s. And then there was a candy kitchen in Monroe. They had all kinds of homemade candy. They made the candies in the back of the store. And there was Candyland, and I think Diamonds had an ice cream place. Then farther down, well, I'll start. I'm coming across the bridge, the Macomb Street Bridge. And I'm turning right on Front Street. And Mom always said, don't walk on that side of the street because all the saloons are. And that was the only place I knew of in Monroe that had a elevator.
Yeah.
And there were several hat stores. Now there are no hat stores.
Hats were pretty popular, huh?
And everyone wore hats. And there was a meat market, Schroeder's Meat Market, and Hicks Meat Market later. And Kirchner's Dry Goods Store. Lauer's was larger. That was the largest. Then there was a store, like a novelty store, called Bear's Store. And, one year they had a mechanical man in the window. And Mr. Bear would reach through and pretend to wind it back, you know. And then he would, they had a little sign in the window that if you could make the mechanical man smile, you would get a reward, have a reward or prize. And the mechanical man roomed at a friend of my mother's on First Street. And he had told her, and then she told my mother, that the only time he came near breaking up was when this old couple came in on Saturday, and the old lady said, John, I wonder if I stick him with my hat pin if he'll holler. And he almost laughed. I always wondered about his eyes because you couldn't see his eyes blink. And he was just as if he were carved out of wood. But I think he must have had a false, that part of his face must have been false, and because he'd have to wink after a half hour. And you could just stand there and watch him. Seemed like for minutes, like 10, 15 minutes. And the kids would make faces at him and everything. And he just never moved, or he'd raise his arms like this and then put them down. But his eyes never winked. But I think it must have been, like from up here. You could see his mouth was natural. In fact, he looked all natural, but he looked as if he had heavy makeup on. And then, as I say, Lauer's had the only elevator that I remember. And there were many hat stores. Miss Mann had a hat store on Washington Street. And one year, at Christmas time, she had little doll hats in the window. And you could get a doll hat for a quarter. They had feathers and bows, and she had the whole window display of doll hats. And then Professor Mann was the music teacher. He had his studio. I think it was either his wife that had the hat store. I know they were about in the same building, I think. And Professor, no, it wasn't Professor Mann, it was Professor Gale. But I think Mrs. Mann was his sister, if I remember correctly. And he was very strict, very dignified and strict. My girlfriend Phoebe was taking lessons. I took lessons, the piano lessons, but I took from my cousin in Detroit. She would come out and give us lessons. So I didn't take from Professor Gale, but Phoebe did. And Phoebe had beautiful long finger, tapering fingernails. And I went with her to her lesson one day, and Professor Gale said, "Young lady," to Phoebe, "you'll have to choose between being a pianist or having long fingernails. You can't have both." And he wouldn't even give her lessons. And she said, "I'm not going to give up my long fingernails." So Phoebe had to quit taking lessons from Professor Gale.
Do you remember any of the blacks that lived in Monroe?
You mean the black people?
Mm-hmm.
The only black person I knew was the black musician that played the piano at the theater.
Do you remember what his name was?
Bromley.
Elkley?
Uh-huh. And I went through 12 years of school here, and we had there were no black children
you
in
don't,
my classes.
You didn't know any of the Fosters, Ella
no.
or Grace Foster?
No.
And you said you remember Elkley, you didn't go to school with him or anything?
I think he was a little older than I.
I
don't think he was in school.
Do you remember anything about his father, James?
No. I knew he was a very nice person.
The reason I asked is because his father had married a white woman.
Yes.
And it caused quite a fear.
Yes,
you know, do you
yes.
remember that?
Well, see, he was older than I, so I just don't...
Do you remember how people felt about that? Do you remember hearing anybody?
Well, I really don't. I never heard any. I think they all respected him. And I did read in some article that they had invited him to a party, but he had refused to go because he thought that I guess that he might embarrass the people. I don't know, but I just remember reading that. But he had been invited, that everybody liked him.
Yeah, he was somebody.
And I know my father, when we lived in Flat Rock, there was a family that were moving to, a black family was moving to Flat Rock. And my father knew that they wouldn't be received. Well, he knew Flat Rock well enough, and they were going to live in town. And Papa bought them a lot out of town. Not that he didn't want them in town, but he was such a kind man that he knew he hated to see them live in town and be snubbed.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought a lot. He approached them, and he said, if they've got the lot, you know, if they were given the lot, if they would build just out of the town, you know, so they weren't down in the village. So I know my folks were very, very broad-minded. They didn't.
Do you remember a sheriff, Dole, who was shot
yeah.
by a black man?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that incident at all?
I just remember being in the it was in the papers. So
the customer that was dedicated in 1967.
I was 6 years old.
Did you go to the unveiling?
Yes, but I don't remember too much about going, but I just remember the excitement and all the flags. And I remember once Marie Dressler was a big movie star. Old days. And Mr. Reaper had a sign out, maybe in the paper too, that Marie Dressler was going to appear at the Reaper Theater. So of course everyone wanted to see a real movie star. We paid all of 10 cents. I was a little girl, I know I wasn't very old, because we got to the theater and we sat through the movie, which I probably didn't even enjoy, and waiting for Marie Dressler, and old Mr. Reaper with his white, he had a handle, white handlebar mustache, he came out on the stage and he said he was very, very sorry that Marie Dressler wouldn't be appearing, and that the people that wanted their money refunded was just to go back to the box office. And what had happened, she was just going to get, the train was going to have a stopover for like maybe a half hour in Monroe, and it would give her time for them to get her on the stage. She'd probably just bow and then leave, but she was going to appear. And the train was late, and they were going to make the half hour stop, so she went right through. But anyway, we got our money back. And I remember going to the Reaper Theater one time when I was older, because I know I went in the evening. And there was a singer, they'd have stage shows, not a stage play, but they'd have a singer or someone playing the harmonica or something. So they had this male singer. And I don't know when he was singing the song, if he sneezed or something, and his bridge work came out. And he wasn't a comedian. He didn't do it on purpose. But seemed to me there was another movie star appeared at, but I can't just recall. Oh, they shot a movie in Monroe, you know, in about 19, it was in the 30s, I think, maybe the 40s, but they filmed the whole movie here.